I'll be your witness.
To ups and downs.
I'll be your witness.
Scattered all around.
I'll be your witness.
Don't you talk about me.
I'll still be your witness.
Scandalize my name.
I'll still be your witness.
False accuse me.
I'll still be your witness.
Point fingers at me. But
I'll still be your witness.
I'll be your witness.
I'll be your witness.
I'll be your witness because
I'll be your witness.
To the swift or the strong, but
I'll be a witness.
To the world,
I'll still be a witness.
To the world,
I'll still be a witness.
Gotta hold on, hold on.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
You turn your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Beginning at verse 1, recorded are these words. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that the days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers had promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. But just a little while, I won't speak from the subject. Daddy, do your part. Daddy, do your part. As we walk through this word today, there are many other scriptures we're going to visit for the understanding that I believe is necessary to know the responsibility that God gives to fathers, to those whom he has called the head of the house, the one he has made accountable and responsible as the authority figure that he himself speaks directly to. When we look at Adam, and again Eve, though they were one, God made the man the head, made him the leader, made him the authoritative figure that God would operate with and to whom God would speak and give commandments to. It was then his responsibility to then give those or pass them down to Eve and then later the family. One of the things that you will recognize is the fact that God has not changed his mind. He has not changed his methods. And God has still made the Father the head and have given him the responsibility as the one that will answer to God. It's important to recognize that even in the structure of the Old Testament, how God so honored the role of fathers and head of households that he operated in that same vein as it related to giving commandments to the man who was then responsible for giving them to his household. And that's why you'll see as he's speaking to Israel about keeping the commandments, it is clear that this word is given to the husband or to the head of household to make sure that it is passed on down the line to those who resided under his roof. Now, again, what is important about that is to establish the fact that God has given man a place of honor, a place of respect, a place of rule, and a place of reign, but it also carries with it its responsibilities. You got a whole lot of folk who want to be the head, but they don't want to pay the price to be the head. Or as the saying of the world used to be, if you want to be the boss, yeah, you got to pay the cost. And you got a whole lot of folk who want to say they're the boss, but don't want to take the role and responsibility of the boss. And so when we look at this word and we go into it, we'll discover again that he makes clear that his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and all of these things that he gives to Israel to follow so that they might be blessed and their lives prolonged in the earth realm. But notice here, it is in regard and respect to the place of blessings that he's bringing them to. What that says to me is, and it should say to all of the men who desire to be husbands and fathers, is you ought to start learning how to be one before you become one. So you don't just wake up one day and you got married and you are a husband and a ruler and the one that God has given this responsibility to without counting up the cost. Because here's the truth. Whether you function and flow under that guideline, you're still responsible for it. You don't just wake up one day and you become a father just because a child is born. You've got to recognize that there are responsibilities connected with fatherhood. So one of the things that we will note as we walk through the word, that parents, and especially the father, the head of the household for sure, is responsible for provisions. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 tells us the first duty of parents is to provide food and clothing and shelter. If you would go into 1 Timothy, I want you to turn there right quick so you can see it in the word for yourself. Understand it so that when you operate, you'll know that God knows that you know what you should be doing, whether you do it or not. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. Look at what it says. It says, but if any provide not for his own and specially, listen to this, specifically, specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. God says, if any of you are here trying to act like you're a Christian man, and you don't provide food, clothing, shelter, and protection for your own family, he says you're worse than a fool. You have denied the faith, and you're shucking and jiving. He's talking to the church here. Notice again, because when he says you've denied the faith, it literally means he's talking to men of the church. Now, it's one thing for a man out in the world to act like that, but it's a whole nother thing for a man who says he loves the Lord, he belongs to the Lord, he's a Christian man, not to provide for his own family. So the first thing I think you need to understand is that if you are the head of the house, if you are the father, if you are the husband, if you are the leader God wants you to be, then that means the first thing you need to be concerned about is providing. Somebody say providing. Providing. Now, providing might not seem like a big thing, especially when you're in love. Because you know some of you young folk get married and you ain't got no idea what it takes to be married. You know, it's fun when you live in mama house and he lives in his mama house and y'all court and date, but you want to get married, but daddy got to pay for the wedding and mama and them got to give in and put in and fill in and try and help you get an apartment and you can't even get it in your name because you either don't have credit or it's bad credit or they got to sign for the credit to get you in there. Don't have no money saved up, don't have nothing to provide for nothing, got to borrow for the deposits and all of that, but yet you in love and don't understand that with love comes responsibility. And providing men is your responsibility. Look at the paradigm set in the Word of God. Before God ever gave Adam a wife, he gave Adam responsibility. Before God ever gave Adam a wife, he made sure that he knew how to handle his business. Before he ever gave Adam a wife, he made sure that Adam had a paradise to bring her into. And so I like to tell young ladies, don't be foolish, darling. Listen at this. If he really loves you, then he ought to have a place provided for you when he says, I do. That's why they don't say I do no more. We say I will. Y'all catch that on your way home, man. That's because you ain't got nothing right now to say I do, but you say I will. And what you need to understand is that when you don't put things in perspective, you put a burden on a relationship that ought not be there. When a brother gets ready to say he's ready for that role and that responsibility, he ought to have a bank account. When a brother get ready to have that role and responsibility, he ought to have his own transportation. It don't have to be a BMW, but he ought to be a BMW, a black man working. He ought to have things so that when he says, I do, you got a place to call your own to come home to. And so provision is so important according to the Word of God. When Eve knew anything, she woke up in paradise. And here was the commandment, be fruitful. Well, you can have babies if you can take care of babies. Multiply. In other words, baby, look at all we got. Now all we got to do is expand on what I've already got for us here. That was all it was supposed to do. But how can you expand on something you ain't got? Nothing from nothing leave nothing. I know you heard it. It ain't a gospel song, but it is gospel. Gotta have. It ain't gotta be a whole lot, but it ought at least be. Oh, y'all know the song, though. Now look at what he said, if you won't be with me. And so you got to realize, my brothers and sisters, especially the men, the young men, having many times the father role absent in our lives, not having one to mentor us, not having one to show us, not having one to provide a paradigm, an example for us, have got to seek out those who are godly men who have that kind of example, who have that kind of walk, who know what it takes to make a family and be a father. We need to seek those kind of men out so that we can make the best provisions for our own family. But not only must the parent and especially the father provide for his family, but they must be parents that practice good rules of order that come from the Word of God. In other words, they've got to learn how to teach, and that's where we started here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 here, where God is telling them through Moses, listen, you've got to learn these things before you go in the promised land. You've got to learn how to operate. You've got to learn who you are and whose you are before you go into the place of blessings. You have got to be who you already are in God when you possess the land. In other words, there ought to be some training, there ought to be some developing, there ought to be some preparation so that when a union is formed or you go into the blessed land, you will know how to act. You'll know what you're looking for. You'll know how to operate. You'll know how to be the best that you can be. And too many times, we wait until we become what it is that we ought to be before we even begin to learn about what it takes to become it. And so he says first that parents, especially men, ought to learn how to teach. But not only should they learn how to teach, the word is clear that they ought to learn how to train. Proverbs 22:6. Because remember, it says, train up a child in the way he should go. When he grows older, he would not depart from that training, from that experience. This word train is also connected with those who actually trained animals and those who were used to training athletes and those kinds of persons and animals. Why? Because it took a deep commitment to training. It had to be an involvement in the process of training. It had to be example setting. It had to be a part of a knowledge base that the trainer had, first in knowing the animal or the athlete, and secondly, knowing how to produce the best out of that animal or that athlete. And what's important is this: a good trainer knows what you're capable of. A good trainer knows what your potentials are. And whether you were talking about training an athlete or whether you were talking about training an animal, once you had a personal relationship with either one, you discovered through communication and through fellowship and through exercise and through that being close with one another what those capabilities were. And based on that knowledge, you would begin to implement a regimen, a plan. You begin to set goals so as to bring out the fullest development of them. And once they had become fully trained, listen to this, they could go through the process without having to have a trainer always. See, once you learn the correct form of how to do an exercise, once you have been taught properly what the technique is, and most of us who know and have had trainers know that it's not about the weight always, but about the technique, about the execution of how you perform that exercise that gives you the greatest value or benefit from it. And once you learn that, you no longer need the trainer when you've been fully trained, know what muscle group to work, know what workout goes best with that muscle group. Once you've gotten all of that knowledge, you don't need the trainer because you won't depart from that training. And so it is where the parents are told to train up a child in the way he should go. And when that child grows older, it will not depart from that training. Why? Because it becomes a part of that child. It is instilled in that child. It's a part of them. That's what they know. Children learn what they live. And so many times people don't understand in the family, especially fathers, how this role God gives to you, whatever the children are, the husband, the father, is the sole person that God holds responsible for that outcome. It is for him to provide the training. It is him to provide the textbook. It is him who should provide the techniques. And all of that should follow his lead. So oftentimes in our days and in our homes, there is no presence of a father. And even where there is, many times he is not the spiritual father. The wife, the mother, is the stronger one. And this is far from the word of God of how it ought to be. The wife should look up to her husband, get her strength, get her focus, get her sustenance from the husband. He is the one who is to be the leader of that family, knowing the word, spending time in that word. Because here's what you need to know. God's going to give that word to the husband. Fathers, it's important for you to recognize that God is holding you responsible for what goes on in your house. No wonder Joshua said in the 24th chapter, the 15th verse, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He didn't have to take no vote. He was the spiritual head. Wasn't no argument with Sister Joshua. He walked before her, talked before her. He didn't cuss Sister Joshua out and treat Sister Joshua as if she was some low-lying to him. He treated her with love and respect, and she had no problem following him. So whatever Joshua said, Sister Joshua said, "Amen, baby." And see, when you live in such a way as to be able to make a call and don't have to second guess whether or not your wife is going to follow you, because you are the spiritual head and you walk before and talk before and live before in such a way that she knows you hear from God, then you don't have issues with that. Matter of fact, if she know you the head, the children going to know you the head. You got some children right now, the daddy speak, they say, "I'm going to tell mama." "You going to do what?" No. That means he ain't doing his job. He ain't on his job. And listen, they have more respect and love and honor for mama than they do him. Can I tell you, you got to be home to raise your child. Can't be out there with the homies hanging out, playing basketball, out there in the clubs, out there doing this and all that. No, you got to be there to be the example, to train. You can't train remotely. And so it's an awesome responsibility, and too many times we take it without realizing how much is connected with that. Because again, while it is a tag team partnership between husband and father doing it, the responsibility and the accountability is on the father. And when he has his house in order, if the children act like they won't obey mama, mama say, "I tell you what, you wait till your daddy get home." But you know, right now, we can't say you wait till daddy get home, because they don't know if daddy's coming home or when he's coming home or what state he's going to be in when he comes home. And so, my brothers and sisters, again, know God's word has given us clear direction. But also Ephesians 6:4 tells us not only should we know how to teach and train, but we also need to control our tempers. See, men, you got to know you ain't no real man smacking no wife and children around like you done lost your mind. You're the head. That doesn't mean that you can treat them with disrespect. The word is very clear. When you go there, you're going to see that there is a command and a call to fathers to make sure they learn how to temper themselves. Why is that so important? Because what they don't understand, what they do, so will the children do. They see you acting a fool, guess what? They're going to act a fool. They see you cursing and carrying on, fighting, guess what they're going to do? See, young men, what you don't realize is the way your boys see you treating your wife is the way they think wives and women ought to be treated. And if you don't have boys and got girls, when they see you treating mama like that, they're going to think that that's the way men treat women. Be careful of how you handle. Look at what, again, Ephesians 6:4 says. And ye fathers, notice it doesn't say mothers here. It's taking it back to the head, taking it back to the father, putting the responsibility on the husbands. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So that means you need to learn how to operate with a controlled temper. See, you can't just, when they make you mad, you just go off the handle and just grab them, shake them. You can't do all that kind of stuff. If you have lost your wits in at that point, you need to back away. You need to say, we're going to revisit this, not now. And you need to calm down because you don't know your strength. You don't know the power that you have, especially when you are angry. And you can do irreparable damage to that child by grabbing them, hitting them, slapping them, handling them, saying things to them. See, because when you're angry, you can curse them out. That hurts worse than a lick.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
A non-attorney spokesperson.
When the going gets tough, the tough get going. When choosing a lawyer, it's important that it will be one that has compassion, empathy, experience, and is willing to fight for you. Attorney Jonathan Goins is that attorney. Attorney Goins grew up with humble beginnings and has always excelled in every part of his life. He is driven to succeed and works hard for his clients because it can become overwhelming getting slammed in a car wreck or an 18-wheeler smashing into you. So when the going gets tough, the tough get going. For more information, the number is 318-787-5607. That's 318-787-5607. For Attorney Jonathan Goins, a proud sponsor of this station.
What will people think when they hear that I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do when they find that it's true?
In month 8 of the I Commit to Pray campaign, the Voice of the Martyrs is praying persecuted Christians are able to rejoice in their suffering. Acts chapter 5 describes how the jealous Sadducees had the apostles arrested because they had been healing the sick and drawing great crowds. The apostles were flogged and ordered not to speak of Jesus in public. Upon their release, they celebrated. Not because of their freedom, they rejoiced, verse 41 says, because God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for his name. For more on the I Commit to Pray campaign, go online to persecution.com.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best.